I wonder for us if it has been more challenging because our circles are closer to a concentric circle than they are to a Venn diagram.
I can feel myself breathing less as you're talking. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I need a little bit more.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 178 of How Married Are You?
Okay, my name is Belief, this is Yvette, and we've been married
12 years.
Living in California, we got
four kids.
Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love of struggles, we ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shoddy. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time. It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and...
It's chocolate baby story time.
Go ahead, you go.
The other day, I was sitting somewhere minding my own business, and my beautiful, lovely daughter comes and she like is poking my obliques because they are exposed. And she says this: "It feels like skin, but its texture is squishy." I was like, well, darling.
Brutal honesty, man.
Thank you very much.
That is such a good
phrase. Oh my gosh. It feels like skin, but it's squishy. It's texture. She even used the word texture.
Yeah.
I was like, what? But yes, that's me.
Last night I was putting the kids to bed and I noticed that Ryan needed his haircut, his nails clipped for a long time. So I'm starting to clip this. I'm like, hey, man, come in here and sit down. And his position that he assumed was, like, I was sitting down on the floor and I was like kind of Indian style. And he sits down in front of me with his back away from me, with his back towards me, and starts scooting back as if I'm going to like put him in between my legs and hold him like we had a prom or something. And I was like, yo, what are you doing? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, what do you think, we about to cuddle? He's like, yeah. I was like, no, I'm about to cut your fingernails. And he was just like, ugh. Like, he gets to a point, literally,
mm-hmm.
7 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
he shuts all the way down. He's on, like, low power mode,
mm-hmm.
like our phones. Like, he could barely
mm-hmm.
do anything. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? It's like his brain just like, man, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking that hard. I'm not doing this. And he's going to assume always that he want to cuddle. So
mm-hmm.
that's Raya.
Yeah.
Shout out to Raya,
Bo. All right, y'all. We are coming live in San Diego, California on July 28th and 29th. We are going to be having a live recording of How Married Are You? And we are going to be joined by a pretty fire lineup.
Yeah.
And so we are hoping that you are not wasting time with buying your ticket.
Because
that's just silly. Mm-hmm. It's just silly because there's only a limited number of tickets. And we are prayerful that they will sell out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play this little commercial right quick and we'll be right back, y'all. Y'all, do you want to hang out with us and the rest of the wedding party in person? Well, let me tell you something. Now is your chance. On July 28th through the 29th, we are throwing a party. We're calling it the How Married Are You Live.
This is our introduction to retreats. We are super excited to add so much value. We've been given free value for a long time and sharing the ups and downs and the hard parts and the best parts of marriage. This upcoming July 28th and 29th is your opportunity to get the nitty-gritty on how we really got through a lot of that stuff. And so we want to invite you guys. It's going to be super fun. Welcome Black. Thank you guys. Make sure you guys buy the tickets immediately. We will be streaming it live, so there will be online tickets. If you're not able to make it out here, we understand it's a long trip. But if you are local, please come out and see us. It's going to be so much fun. We can't wait to see you guys. How Married Are You Live? Yo, let's go ahead and get into this topic because you showed me this video. And I was like, man.
Okay, so there is this couple that I, they used to have a podcast. I can't even remember what the name of the podcast was.
It's called Couples Therapy.
Was it called Couples Therapy? Casey Neistat and his wife, Candace, they had a podcast, and I was a faithful listener. And one of the reasons that I'm really attracted to them is because I feel like in so many ways, Casey is kind of like Glenn. And maybe there are some of y'all out there who listen to us because you're like, my husband's like Glenn, or my wife's like Yvette, or even vice versa.
With the creatives. I'm like him in the creative way.
Yeah.
I'm not like him in a lot of other ways.
In a lot of other ways. But I'm just saying, like, for them, the relatability is the fact that he is a creative, and the way that he thinks about creating content and even just living life when he shares his life so much. Which, he shares his life so much, but he still doesn't share so much, you know? Anywho, that dynamic between the two of them, I just really like to hear about, and I like to hear about how they deal with issues that arise. And so the other day, I just happened to open up the app YouTube, and I saw the two of them sitting together, and I was like, what? And then it was titled 10 Simple Tricks Not to Get Divorced. And they shared a bunch of stuff that we already know. One of the things that they emphasized as far as, like, to avoid getting divorced is to be able to, like, work on yourselves and on the marriage. It requires a lot of work, which I feel like we preach out all the time. However, there was this illustration that Casey shared with Candace, and I was like, huh. And it reminded me of conversations that I've had in other contexts, but it was a illustration of a Venn diagram. And if you don't know what a Venn diagram is, it's a diagram that is of two circles that have like a slight overlap. And in the middle, there is a part that is usually used to indicate what they have in common. So a Venn diagram is a diagram that is used for comparison. And so when he drew the Venn diagram, he wrote on one side, me, on the other side, you, and in the middle, us. And then he went on to emphasize how it is really important, or one of the ways that they have avoided getting divorced is because they are allowing each other the space to basically have their own lives. Did you receive that from the clip that I showed you? And so because the overlap of them is smaller, they're suggesting that their life, or they're less likely to get a divorce. Like, that has been something that has saved their marriage. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, I got to share this with Glenn. I sent it to Glenn. He didn't watch it. I had to literally, like, put it in front of his face to watch it. Anywho.
You know what? You know why I didn't watch it?
Why?
And this is a sidebar, but Casey reminds me of how hard I'm not working.
Oh.
And sometimes I get a little shame. It's a thing, and it has nothing to do with you, and I'm sorry I didn't watch it. I should have watched it. But sometimes Casey, man, he's doing, like, you know what I'm saying? He was like the guy that really got me started.
No, I understand that. I think that of Cody. I adore Cody. But I'm like looking at all the things she's doing and then how she's still able to show up for her kids. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah. So and that is something that we got to heal from and not compare ourselves, whatever. But yeah.
Facts. And so anyways, I started this conversation with Glenn because I was like, the little, like, if I wish you guys could see it.
Maybe, no, we'll have Jed put it on the screen.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll have Jed put it on the screen, but I also want Jed to kind of make our own graphic because I feel like the little overlap of their circle for us would be much larger.
Did you want to play a portion of it?
Okay, yeah, let's see.
Is so critical.
Is this a Venn diagram?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. See? Cute. Still cute.
I think this is so critical. And when I speak with friends who are married and they're having strife, I attribute it to a lack of respect for this, which is, I've explained this to you before, Candace, but this is me maintaining my sense of self and my work and my friend, like my own life, you with your own life, and then together we share this relationship. And where it gets troublesome is when it becomes like one sort of relationship messy circle, and you give up your sense of self, and I give up my sense of self, and you sacrifice that for the relationship. I think that is extremely detrimental, but this requires a lot of this, right?
For those of you who are listening, he's saying this and this takes a lot of work. So he put up a sign that said work. So, so you brought that up and you wanted to talk about it, and I'm going to hear all the things you got to say, because it was very, very like insightful how we thought about it, how you talked about it, and then how we elaborated on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to know kind of more, because I don't know where you're going, but I'm with you. So
yeah, and so I brought it up to Glenn because Casey was kind of showcasing the Venn diagram as if that was the way to have a successful marriage, or like not to have a successful marriage, but for them to avoid getting divorced.
Right, because trying to not get divorced is not a way
to
get married, like to be married. Like,
true.
You know what I'm saying?
Very true. That is a really good point to bring up, babe. But for me, I was thinking, like, he was saying, oh, and for this Venn diagram to take this shape, it requires a lot of work. So I recently had a conversation with somebody who's been married a really long time. And they're like, yeah, but it wasn't hard. You know, I think I was speaking on the significance of that amount of time being married. And they were like, yeah, but it wasn't hard. Maybe a couple of years, like when kids came into the picture and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, huh. And then we kind of went in further into the conversation. It was like, well, yeah, because you guys kind of have like your own things that you're doing, like, you know, but together. And I'm realizing that, because I wouldn't necessarily, we will be celebrating 13 years in August. And I would describe our marriage like as being hard. There were a lot of good years, but there was a lot of hard. I mean, I don't even know if that's an accurate statement to say there were a lot of good years. But there were a lot of good moments, you know, that we had, and we love each other and we're really good friends. However, it's been hard, and it's required, like he said, a lot of work. And so I sat with that for a minute. I sat with that conversation that I had with my friend, and then I encountered this Venn diagram, and I was like, huh, I wonder for us if it has been more challenging because our circles are closer to a concentric circle than they are to a Venn diagram. I wouldn't say there's a clean overlap. However, I would say there is a larger overlap than there is not when you're looking at the Venn diagram.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know. I just brought it up as a thought process. And I was thinking too, because I was like, is that wrong? I think that was the conversation that I started to have with you. Like, are we doing it wrong? Should there not be that much overlap? Are we failing at life? Is that why it's so hard? Should we quit? Stop!
Yeah, so I was thinking that I think in what you were saying is that the more overlap, probably the more work needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So people that don't have
the harder the work. I don't know if it's necessarily the more work. I think it's the harder the work.
Okay, yeah, right. So if we're looking at it like that, I would say that there's a lot of overlap, too much for me.
You say it's too much overlap?
Yeah, I think it's too much
overlap. Whose fault is that? I'm sorry, I don't mean to say fault, but as a result of what is there too much overlap?
I don't really think that's important. I'm just saying it's a lot of overlap. See how I did that, guys?
Whatever.
So, yeah, like, I think there's a lot of overlap that, you know, because we both have a lot of opinions about how we both do things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like parenting, you know what I'm saying? Or work or family relationships, you know what I'm saying? Like there was one time there's a part of my family that I just was not clicking with, and you went on with a full relationship with them like I had no problem. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is your life, and that's okay. But that it's always a like kind of pending thing for me to be like, yeah, I probably have to come around and do that eventually, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think in the beginning, noticeably, when you were doing like ASB,
mm-hmm.
you were like, yeah, we need a DJ. And I'm like, what does that have to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no, you're going to DJ because you're my husband. And I'm like, that don't got nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we have become less overlapped. I think during the time you were working, it was less overlap.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like there was like it was like rolling circles chasing each other. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
To where like, you know, there was a little bit more like, bro, get with my program here.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say so?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think in this season, I don't know how, I think we are fairly overlapped, but there's like slithers, you know what I'm saying?
Of self.
Of self, mm-hmm. which is difficult when you add everything up, you know what I'm saying? Because it seems like, yo, just kind of separate your lives a little bit more, you do your thing. But when you take away the fact that, like, you know, our community isn't as solid as it was,
mm-hmm.
so we have less people to help us with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We work together. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? We are on like life mission together in our ministry and in our vocation. We both are very involved parents. You know what I'm saying? And your problems are my problems. Not to say that you give me your problems, but I take ownership of the problems you have as my problems, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're a lot involved in the business. You know what I'm saying? I'm a lot involved in the home. Yeah, I would say that there's a lot of overlap. What do you think?
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah, and what do you, but do you think that is, how would you like it to go?
So that's the thing that I've also been sitting with, because I think that like yesterday or whatever day that was, you were in the backyard and I just went. I literally just went in the backyard just because Glenn was out there. I was like, where are you going? I'm going to let's be together. And so for me, I feel like, regardless, I don't mind the overlap. And I understand that the overlap takes a lot more challenging work. However, I believe that because we are on the same mission, like I think I was talking to Glenn about how like, and I think this was our first couples therapist that gave us this whole analogy about Glenn and I with like being in the same vehicle, but Yvette's kind of always looking out the window and wanting to da-da-da-da-da, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what is cool about it is that we are in the same car and we're headed in the same direction to the same destination. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when the circles are more concentric, I feel like when we do the work to make that overlap larger, I don't even know if it's not a matter of making the overlap larger, because I do believe there is still parts of each of us that exist that are just us. That's just me. That's just Glenn. However, because of the work we do and what God has called us to, and it's an alignment to the same place, I believe that the overlap is actually working in our favor. Because if we do the work to make the overlap work, then there's less strife. There's less like tug of war. You know what I'm saying? Because we're just, I'm sitting on your lap in the driver's seat.
Go this way. Do that.
I'm just kidding.
And touch this button. I'm a cold. Can you turn on the AC? I don't like this song. Turn this.
Does that make, did I articulate that in a way that is understandable? Because I don't know if I did.
You know, it's crazy. Because I got this like, this kind of thought where, you ever seen that TikTok where it's like, is this your man? Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna stick beside him.
Don't you
but
dare.
No, but that's how I felt when, like, I was playing the Oculus in the backyard and I'm like, he. And you're sitting there like,
that's my man.
And I'm stick beside him. And I'm like, you, like, Yvette, I like love you. But sometimes I'm like, oh, she's crazy about me. She's crazy about me.
Literally cuckoo.
And I'm like, what? Because it doesn't click. I'm like, what is she doing? And I'm like, oh, she just wants to be near me. Wow.
And you're always running away. But y'all, it's so bad because I had to stop myself because eventually the Oculus wasn't really working outside. And I was making myself lunch, but I was planning on bringing my lunch outside to eat. But then Glenn went into the other like room that we have. And he was over there, and I was going to take my lunch over there, but I was like, why would I do that? The kitchen table is right here, and the kids are right here.
But see, the thing is like, you don't understand, is that you follow me, and the kids follow
me.
You. So then I'm around everybody again. So I'm cool with being around you. Absolutely, I want you around.
Yeah, I know.
But then, like, Anaya comes, and Uzi, can I try? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of like, man, this is my thing.
Yeah.
So...
it always starts just like that, too. It's Anaya, then Uzi, or Uzi, then Anaya, and then everybody
else. And then Theo
else.
Kind of comes in, and Raya is like almost the last
Raya
one.
Raya is always
in.
The last. But did what I said make sense?
It makes sense, but also I can feel like myself like breathing less as you're talking.
Mm.
Like it's making me like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I need a little bit more.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking that like, as you're communicating to me, hey, we need this, I need this, or I need you to be around here more for this,
mm-hmm.
I'm hearing you and I'm kind of like, okay, for a season, I'm going to have to do that so that we're good.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, I'm going to do less of that. But I feel like eventually, I'm just going to be home with you. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I won't be able to kind of give and take, you know, with what I feel like I need to do for myself or for the company or for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no... And so when sometimes she asks me, she'll go, where do you start and the business end? And I'm kind of like, the business is almost my time. My kind of like my time to focus kind of on me. So it's really hard to differentiate the two when I should be working on myself. I'm usually focused on the business or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I understand what you're saying, but I do think for our lives, you know, and I think really what happened, I would say for our lives, there is value in having more self awareness and self. Don't do that. You have to cut yourself, girl. There could be more self-awareness.
How do you just have a pain? Wait a minute.
I got this.
Glenn just pulled a nail clipper out of his pocket, y'all.
She was about to cut her nail with a razor, a razor blade. And I got like this obsession with like my fingernails. Like if I'm like doing something and like my fingernails don't feel right, I won't be able to focus.
Oh,
so I always keep like fingernail clippers and stuff like that. I'm trying to build the perfect toiletry bag for myself to just kind of keep. But anyway. Yeah, like, I would say, what was I saying?
You were talking about suffocating.
No. Is that what you heard me say? Because I said I was breathing less as you were talking. Mm-hmm. But I think that there could be more of that, you know, self-time.
Yes.
But, you know, my insecurities robbed us of that.
Say more about that.
Because, like, I would be like... You would be hanging out with people, and I'd be like, why are you hanging out with them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. Jealous that you were going to, like, leave
mm-hmm.
and develop friendships more valuable than me. But that was a keen awareness because mm-hmm. that was kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because of trauma that you experienced where you're like, well, let me secure these relationships just in case.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, not me... And this will be our next topic. So when we're talking about our next topic, like, it'll kind of pull back to this conversation. But, you know, not really having family like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I have family, But like I'm talking about a nuclear family home. Mm-hmm. Like I was always, it's like broken homes, you know what I'm saying? And so that's difficult for me to like, well, where, this is my new family, so I'm attaching myself to this, you know? And then, you know, things not being as smooth with your family, you know what I'm saying, makes it difficult too, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? For you to have, I think, so it's kind of like, boom, well, we're together. I got you, you got me, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that is definitely best. But, like, I love seeing you, like, be you. You know what I'm saying?
It's so interesting that you're saying that, because I feel like even in the overlap, even in us doing so much life together and work together, there is an element that is you and there is an element that is me. You know what I mean? Like, there's still our individuality within the combined work that we do.
How much of the element that is me as a man and not as a father?
I don't know.
Well,
not very much.
Would you say that it's closer to how, because like, I feel like I'm a new person now, and the old me, like, I don't know if that person exists anymore.
What old person?
Like the person you married.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if he exists.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, who I am was built, you know, in the past 12, 13 years. You know what I mean? And a part of my identity has become, you know, us. You know what I'm saying? And that's not a bad thing, but it is like there's something about me that comes alive when I'm in my element that I'm like, oh, there he goes.
Doing music or...
Doing music.
Creating.
Doing art. Being able to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, shoot. Oh, he's doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
it's an outer body experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's doing the thing that we love. But that doesn't mean that I'm not saying I'm suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the more concentric the circles may get, not that I will be bitter, but bitterness is entertained.
Yes. And I don't think concentric circles is the goal.
Mm-mm.
I don't think that that is a goal at all, because there are things that I love to do that are just good for my mental health. Like go on a hike, go sit at the beach. You know what I mean? Like there are things that I do that you aren't necessarily a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
So I will always need to have those things just so that I can stay sane. And there are things that you have to do, like write music. I feel like that is a very therapeutic
mm-hmm.
form of art for you.
Okay, so now I believe that I can say this with the perfect context. Because for years, you'd be like, why don't we do a song together? That ain't a part of our circle. That's me by myself. I don't want any.
Okay.
Okay. We got it.
Thank you. I'm glad I gave you that little segue.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You allowed
That's
me.
How married I am.
That is the reason that we did this topic. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. I like that. So certain things we can just say, hey, like,
that's so funny, because for our, like, I don't know if I was going to do 15 or 20, but I was like, we should write a song.
Okay, so look, I don't mind writing a song together with you and doing it. I just want you to know that if we do it, it's like a one-off.
Yeah.
Or a couple times we do it together. It's not going to be something like, let me get a verse. Like, you're not finna do that to me. Okay? We're not finna Toby and Fat this thing. We're not finna be Toby and Fat. It's not happening.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Okay. Well, babe, how married are you?
Mm.
You've been very married lately.
Dang, should I do this? Okay, so Yvette, the other day, we were sitting there talking, and she was like, I'm trying to order something. I'm trying to eat. Da, 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 da. And then she goes to Schutz, right? And Schutz is a place that's local to Oceanside. Great food, amazing. And so they had shrimp and grits that day on the menu, but they only have, they switch up the menu every day. Yeah. So you guys like, oh my gosh, I missed the shrimp and grits. And she looked at the shrimp and grits and was like, I wouldn't have wanted this.
And then well, it looked interesting. I still would have ordered it so that I could experience it, but it didn't look quite what
I'm
used
like
to.
It looked like shrimp and the grits. It didn't look like shrimp and grits.
I think the shrimp still had the eyes.
Yeah, the shrimp had the eyes on it, the whiskers, antennas. I was like, man, this ain't no daggone shrimp and grits. So then she says this. She goes, man, the last time I had shrimp and grits that was good was when Brent made it for me. Brent is a friend of mine who lives in, I don't know where he lives, now, Montana. Or something. So him and his wife have an amazing platform. They do the Bible Bells, and they sell books. It's incredible. And he had us over, and he's a white dude. He had us over.
He's
and he was
from
like,
Maryland, though.
And he's in Maryland. He's like, I want to make some shrimp and grits. And I'm looking at him up and down like, you ain't finna make us no. He made the perfect shrimp and grits, and I judged him all the way through. I was like, bro, I did not know you could do this. And he was like, that's not judgmental at all. I was like, no, I judged you. I did not know. And so
that man can cook.
He threw down, and yeah. I was like, this boy got soul, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to try to make shrimp and grits. I've never made it before. And Yvette, I was like, let me go to the store real quick. And Yvette had to put the kids to bed. Mm-hmm. And I went to the store and I got all the ingredients. I had to go to Albertsons too. I had to go to two stores.
I didn't know you did that. Yeah. Oh, man.
And I came home and I just was in the kitchen.
Yeah. And he was like, you're going to
make a huge mess. Destroying every dish.
God.
And so I'm destroying the whole thing. And then, like, I'll come around the corner. I'm like, boom, here you go. And she's like, oh, this looks nice. And I think she just thought it was
said it smelled good.
It smelled good.
And then
I thought you might have just thought it was like one of my concoctions.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was going to be like rice and something or another. And then I look at it and I start, like, I put my spoon in it and I'm like, wait a minute, is this shrimp and grits? Yeah. I was so
so excited.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
And it was good. Yeah. It was so good.
I can
man.
Make it better for sure.
I'm so down for you to keep trying, but it was good. It was like, I felt so loved. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I was like, man, because I thought, I think you said you were going to the store for okra or something.
I wanted okra, but when I went to Sprouts, they had no okra.
Yeah, I had to go to Fraser Farms to get it. But yeah, so I was completely caught off guard when he, because I knew we didn't have no shrimp in the house. So he like literally bought the groceries to make shrimp and grits. That was, man, you's married.
No, yeah. Thank you. How married are you, babe?
I should have gone first. Because I ain't that married. I think we need to start letting me go first because you always have really good ones. However, though, this is a really good one. It's just the story isn't as prolonged as Glenn's. So the other day, Saturday night, right? I don't know. It has been a very busy month of June. And I was like, this weekend, I was like, I'm chilling. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not making no commitments. We were invited to go out to the pool. I said no. I'm chilling. And I'm watching my husband play on the Oculus. Anywho, at some point, I am laying down in our bed. And I don't know where you were going.
I was going to that meeting.
Oh, yeah. Glenn had to leave the house. And
she's under the covers.
And I'm like under the covers, all the things. He's at the bottom of the stairs. And you know what he did? He said, babe, can you toss me down my keys? I was so nestled under the covers.
And you were sore.
It was just like I was chilling. I wasn't trying to get up. I wasn't going nowhere. And y'all, I had to pee. But I wasn't even going to pee.
I did you a favor.
You did. You actually helped me get up to go pee. But I got up and I tossed him those keys down the stairs and I went pee. And that's just how married we are.